Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an awesome and mighty God. You are the God who saves. You are the God who loves us. And Lord, we just pray that as we enter into this time of worship, that you would speak to our hearts, that our hearts would be open to receive what you want us to receive, Lord, that our hearts would be open to take in what it is you want us to take in. And Lord, as we walk out of these doors today, I pray that we would apply to our lives what it is that we have heard. Lord, I thank you for the message that you have given Larry to preach this morning. Lord, I thank you for the message that is going to go forth, and I pray that Larry would speak your truth and your word this morning, that he would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you have questions, when you don't know, when you don't understand, when you're praying for a need, when there's not much you can say, as long as you have Christ and you've received him as your Savior, you can wake up, if you're blessed to wake up, and you can say, you know, I don't know about today, I don't know about tomorrow, but I received the freedom that he paid for, and I can say, who do you think I am? Who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a child. Because of the great work of Christ and what he did for me and what he did for all of us. We just need to wake up and receive it. So Heavenly Father, just by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us this morning receive just your adoption. And now we can call you Father. We forget not your benefits, as your word says. And we receive, as Ephesians 1 says, every spiritual blessing. Even those that we do not understand. God, you are a good Father. And you won't give us a stone when we ask for bread. So we receive your goodness. We receive your mercy, God. We receive your forgiveness. Your unmerited favor. We receive, God, your Holy Spirit. We receive the knowledge that you are preparing a place for us, God. We receive the word that says you know the plans, God. That you have a purpose, that you have a destiny. But when we don't know what step to take, may we just receive, most importantly, God, your presence and knowing we are yours. May we wake up every day and be your child, God. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray that that would just sink deep into our spirit this morning, God, whose we are. In Jesus' mighty name, we just thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm louder than I thought I was going to be. The message today is got peace or got peace. Now, the reason for that is I firmly believe that you are in one camp or the other. And ultimately, it comes down to a decision that we make. And it's a faith decision. Now, the scripture we're going to be dancing all over today is going to be in the 15th chapter of Romans, the 13th verse, which happens to be the verse for this year's youth camp. Now, I wasn't able to attend. I was waiting for a woo on that one. I wasn't able to attend this year. Jim was gracious enough to fill in for me, but I had this message prepared for them. And as I saw this day approaching, I thought, you know, maybe I ought to get something for everyone, and this is the message for everyone. I'm going to start with reading, like I said, in chapter 15 of Romans, verse 13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And there's a lot there. I mean, I actually had to chisel a lot away because there's so many things there you can just go down rabbit trail after rabbit trail on. But we're going to focus on the fact that this was a prayer that Paul offered up, and what a wonderful prayer that it is. And his desire was every believer to experience this for themselves. Now we can ask ourselves, does this scripture even come close to describing me? Can anyone say honestly that my life is filled with all joy and peace in believing? Do I abound in hope? You know, since we all have the tendency to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, perhaps we shall ask others, would my family or friends describe me as being filled with all joy and peace in believing and abounding in hope? To varying degrees, we all fall short of experiencing this verse personally. You know, we can all benefit by thinking about what it means and how we can grow in these qualities. But who of us would say, I'm not interested in joy or peace. I don't want to abound in hope. I would think no one. A common thread among those who are depressed is that they lack hope. Discouraged people, the apathetic about life, they also lack hope. Now, there are staggering statistics regarding depression and the clinically depressed. You know, I am not going to go into that. One, it's a little outdated, the information I was reading, but two, it's just of no value. And the only thing I'll say about that is those statistics are depressing. They're very depressing. The depression and clinically depressed in the youth age, high school through college, is increasing at an alarming rate. These people don't have hope. You know, I realize there are often complex factors in my looking into this that cause depression. And those include various physiological components. I'm not equipped to discuss any of that. And to that degree, I'm not saying or suggesting an easy one-size-fits-all solution. But what I am offering up today is that we are to consider seriously seeking God to fill us with the joy and the peace in believing so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the most practical verse for all of us as we navigate life and the trials that life brings with it. Because I don't know if you know this, it is a rough road. Everyone. You know, oftentimes, you know, you get around friends and you're chatting and this and that. And particularly my brother and I, when we go hunting, it's a great time to unload and just, you know, get rid of the garbage. And we always end up laughing because everyone thinks they have it worse than everyone else. And the truth is worse for you is just different than everyone else. Everyone has a rough go of it. Life was never meant to be easy. It's the challenges in life that actually display to you, not to God, your character and your willingness to either do what is right or fold like a cheap lawn chair. Now, life will have its disappointments. That's a given. But I don't want us to be confused this morning when we get disappointed. To be disappointed is one thing. Being in despair is an entirely different animal. Disappointment and despair are cousins, by the way, meaning that they are similar, but they are not the same at all. Disappointment is from being let down. It's from an unmet expectation. That's what a disappointment is. Despair is the complete loss or absence of hope. Often despair is even confused with desperate. Now, desperate is a feeling or involving a hopeless sense that a situation is so bad that it's impossible to deal with. Now, I tell you right now, it would be much better to be desperate than to be in despair. Now, I say that because I've heard many times that, you know, a good Christian, one that really knows his place in the grand scheme of things, should be desperate for his Lord, desperate for God, desperate for him to move on our behalf, desperate for a closer relationship with him, and desperate for more of him and his direction for us, desperate for the life that he has given. Now, disappointment will come, but there is no place for despair in a relationship developed with God. Now, I inserted a few names of God because there are so many. But here we have the reason. Just in God's name alone, in El Shaddai, he is the Almighty, All-Powerful, and my favorite, All-Sufficient One. Let that rest on you, All-Sufficient One. If you don't know what that means, I guess you could Google it if you have a hard copy, look in the dictionary. But sufficient means lacking nothing. There's Jehovah Rohi, and I'm probably pronouncing these all wrong. You can get the right pronunciations from Pastor Jim later. But Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, the one who will guide us through these difficulties. He is Jehovah Shalom, he is the Lord our peace. See, the source of this abundant hope is the God of hope. Paul is saying that God is the source, the giver of hope. God is also the object of our hope. In Romans 15:5, he is called the God of perseverance and encouragement. He is also Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide, for God gives us these abilities. He's not a stingy God. He's going to give us what we need when we need it if we actually pursue his will. Romans 15:33, Paul describes him as the God of peace. If we are to lack hope, the first place to look is to our God. The word hope in verse 13 links back to verse 12. That is citing, actually, Isaiah 11:10. Which says, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Is there any Gentiles in here today? Just me? One over there? Okay. Him refers to Christ Jesus and the promise of salvation that comes to all through him. If you have not come to know Jesus as you are and put your trust in him as your only hope for eternal life, I would say you are in a most desperate way. Paul mentions hope in Romans more than any other letter he wrote. In Romans chapter 4, in the 18th verse, it says, we read of Abraham with reference to God's promise that he would have a son and become the father of many nations. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which he had spoken, so shall your descendants be. Paul expands his thoughts on our hope through the gospel. Again, in Romans 5, beginning in verse 1 through 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I know that's a big mouthful. If you lack hope, you know where to seek it. Seek God, who is the same, who is the source of all hope, and put your hope in Christ as your Savior and Lord. Paul doesn't pray that you have a little bit of joy or a skosh of peace. He prays simply that the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace so that you will abound in this hope. God produces in us the joy and peace Paul is talking about. These do not come from having a certain personality type. You know, a person with Holy Spirit produced joy is not just a person with a bubbly, optimistic personality. A person with the Holy Spirit produced peace is not someone who's just laid back, who doesn't get excited about anything. Truly, these are not natural qualities of mankind. They are most noticeable when someone is in a position where most would get depressed or anxious. The believer is full of all joy and peace in God. Now, scriptural joy is an inner delight. This delight is in God and his sure promises. These promises comfort us and gives us contentment and puts us at ease in every trial. Notice it puts it as ease. It doesn't say it takes the trial away. It doesn't say, you know, it's all rainbows and Skittles. It is ease, for we know who God is, and his will is perfect. And this comes from knowing him personally, knowing that our sovereign God will work all things together for our good. Because we love him and are called according to his purpose. So how do I get this kind of faith that helps me abound in hope, even in times of trouble? Part of the answer is to know your God and his way through his word. Knowing God and his way through his word will show you that he is in complete control and is trustworthy. The other part is to choose to believe in spite of circumstances that appear to contradict his promises. See, God knowledge fights back against the emotional grip of anxiety and fear, depression. You know, faith is something that we can't muster on our own. I've always said that it's something that is given. It is given through, obviously, our efforts to know better who God is and his ways and his word, but it ultimately is provided by him through the knowledge that he gives us to know better who he is. Faith is believing in what God has said. Faith is believing God has a lot of names. And knowing that liar is not one of them. Faith supported by knowledge, and this knowledge of the one who is God and how he operates and what he has already done on your behalf, what he has said and what he is continuing to do. This brings peace in any circumstance. This draws that ease that flows over our very souls so we can face the conflict and the tragedy or the hardship. This is not so that we can lose our heads, but we can actually use our heads to hold the reins of our emotions, to keep in check that unbridled heart. See, God sent his Spirit. He sent this Holy Spirit to us. Jesus called him the Comforter. It's not God's Comforter. He's our Comforter. God does not give us the spirit of fear. We've heard that scripture many times. But he doesn't give anxiety or despair either. And of course, as I said, God has given us his spirit. It's his spirit, the Holy Spirit, that produces in us. It produces in our minds, in our bodies, and also produces it in our souls, the ability to portray the one and only true God. God will provide. Jehovah Yireh. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. It's going to be a very short message today. If I could get the music ministry come on up. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the message today. My hope, God's desire, is that you have a greater connection to this scripture, to him that has provided this inspired verse, that we here at New Hope can counter the counterculture of the day. We are not merely given this hope, this joy, and this peace for our own enjoyment only, but we are to administer this very hope, peace, and joy to the world that we live in. Now, some of you may know that. Now, it's a long story. Jim and I kind of laugh because it's almost a hillbilly connection. But it's my sister's daughter's new husband's daughter from a prior marriage. Okay? And she was the one that, if you notice the prayer request here a few weeks back, that had been lured out of her home. And she was gone for a few days. The police did find her. It was a very... I don't have any more details, and if I did, I still wouldn't share them. But she's back home. That's a praise report. You know, God is good, and he's still on the throne. And prayer does change things. Thank God that she's home. However, I was sharing with someone just the other day as they're trying to deal with all of the circumstances today, you know, the unemployment, coronavirus, you know, still needing to meet financial needs and whatnot. And I just shared this story. It says, you know, I personally don't think I've ever met my sister's daughter's husband's daughter ever. But at the news of her disappearance, I have to say I was pretty torn up about it. I could only imagine, you know, and that's the worst thing you can do, right? Start thinking about what she may be involved in, what may be happening to her. I didn't sleep that night at first because I was just thinking about and praying about and asking God, and then I had to realize that my burden is not worry. My burden for Bailey was to pray for her and let God. My job was to pray. God's job is his, which is everything else. Now, I did get some sleep after that. It's amazing. how the God of peace. Thank you for that. The God of peace can take the burden and ease a troubled soul. If we could only do that in every circumstance. We worry about our kids, we worry about our parents, we worry about that coworker that just doesn't do it the way it's supposed to be done. If we can just let God be God, and we do our part, and we can demonstrate the love of God through these circumstances, that then God will show up. But the minute you try to take control is the minute you have no control, because God will not show up if you want to be the boss. You aren't the boss of anything. You're only in control of the choices that you make. And we can choose to believe, because God's word says, believe. We can choose to have faith, because faith is a choice. But the funny thing is that we can't have faith, and we're going to have a hard time making these choices if we don't know the God that we serve. Because how could we possibly have faith in something we don't know anything about? How can we serve a God that's unfamiliar? So to repeat, 1 John 4:13, we know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. I just want to close with this thought. My hope is that we may unfold, that we may take down all the walls that we've built around our lives to protect us from the world and everything else, and receive today what we need for the comfort, for the joy, for the peace, and for the hope that God offers through faith. Now, if I could, I would like everyone just kind of bow your heads, if you would, for a minute. Just listen to what I have to say. I'm not asking anything of you other than listen. There is a God of great hope. He's demonstrated His love not only at the cross, but long before that, that He has foretold the coming of a Savior. He foretold how that Savior was going to show up, what He was going to do, how He was going to die, and how He was going to come back to life and ascend into heaven. It was all foretold so that you and I could have a relationship through the Messiah with our Father in heaven. Now, I just simply lay that out there as a backdrop for this next thing. There are some of us in here that have been going to church for quite some time. Some, not very long at all. Everyone's at a different level in their walk, but if we are to be honest, those of us that call ourselves believers, we would have to say of ourselves that we're really not serving God like we know we should. And there are those in here that may not know, or online, that may never have made that commitment. Or if they have, it was just some words, and they know it. But today's the day. I just feel compelled to give everyone, in the sound of my voice, the opportunity to either connect for the first time or reconnect with the one who can save them. And if you would like to reconnect or connect today, I'm just going to ask everyone to say the prayer so those I can have privacy, because I know sometimes it can be awkward or maybe a little scary to speak out on your own. But if we would all just repeat this very simple prayer, it's Uncle Larry's version of the sinner's prayer. So just repeat after me. If you do so, do it aloud so we can all feel comfortable. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know I've sinned against you.
I've sinned against you.
And I've sinned against all of heaven.
I've sinned against all of heaven.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
I ask you into my heart. And into my entire life, as my Lord and my Savior. And I submit to you all that I am, and I will serve you with all of my heart. All the praise is yours in your holy name. Amen. There you go. Today, for those who said that for the first time, or those that are reconnecting, those words right now put you in good standing. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. What it is, it's an introduction to the one who saved you, and through him, an introduction to the one who made it all possible. As I have said before in prior messages, now that you are saved, it's time to act like it. It's time to live out that life that glorifies the one that sacrificed so much for us, that we may lead a life that brings others into the fold. Because you realize it's our job to fill heaven. God's provided the way. He's provided all the resources. We just have to be willing participants so that we have this peace, we have this ease, we have this joy, we have this hope. And if we really have it, how could you possibly contain it? You'd want to share it. Amen? Amen. All right. If you'd stand. Thank you. I love that song. I like them all, but... I just want to restate that there is a knowledge that's required in order to bring the emotions, and this anxiety and depression, all these things into focus. But we can rein in the emotions, and that is through the knowledge of Christ. Now, it's not just knowledge alone. Obviously, we don't want to live with our hearts alone. It's the balance, and that balance has come when we have engaged in that relationship, because the Holy Spirit will direct us and we will know. You know, the one thing when I was praying for Bailey, it was an overwhelming sense of knowing that God is who he says he is. That was the ability for me to overcome my emotional investment into that, to enough to where the ease, the peace, where I could actually get to sleep. And I know it sounds pathetic. I'm worried about sleeping. But, you know, I still have my daily functions. I was worried about going to work and whatnot. Ultimately, obviously, I was concerned for her welfare. And God was faithful in that because I believed him. And I want to thank everyone else in here that prayed for her as well, because God hears those prayers. And it's offered up before him as a pleasing aroma to his nostrils. And obviously, there was enough believers offering up the prayer that God moved on her behalf. But God will do that in every circumstance, in every situation, that fast it takes to make a prayer. God, help me not to be a jerk. But that coworker who's a jerk, he'll do it. And I'm going to shut up, or I'll talk all day. I know I need lunch, you need me as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good and gracious God. You are faithful beyond our understanding. You are the great I am, an all-sufficient one who can do any and all things. And we lift up your name today to praise you, because you are who you say you are. Your word is solid, and even though when we doubt you, Lord, there is no reason, for you are faithful. Gracious God, we pray a blessing on the rest of this day. And until we can gather again, Father, we pray that you answer our prayers, that you direct us, Lord, and that you would invigorate the Holy Spirit in us so that we may hear your voice more stronger. And you know, Father, that I have a fixed goal, and sometimes I need to get hit with the 2x4 of the word, and I receive that from you today, that you would be so kind as to address each and every one of us as we are and move us in the direction that you would shape us, Lord. That you lift our eyes to your throne and open our hearts to your Spirit, Father, that we may walk the walk that brings glory to you, to your Son, by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things and leave everything before you, for our hope is in you, our joy and our peace. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You are dismissed.